There is, I believe, a healthy debate within the Torah community about the role of sports for B'nai Torah. It happens to be that I feel strongly for my own children and for the children of my Talmidim that sports has a tremendous advantage. I'm not talking about what we call, referred to as following sports. Rav Nevensal describes, almost mockingly, he says, I don't understand, the father wants a child to do well in the test. And he says, if you do well, we'll go and watch someone eat ice cream. So, you know, what exactly is this about the spectator sport, even though I, as a child, was a tremendous sports fan? I think, if I'm not mistaken, I knew all 792 players of the 1986 top set. But that, and it could very well be that my childhood, I start off by saying this, that my childhood might very well have impacted the way I look at the experiential of the sports. But at the end of the day, I've seen from my own children that playing sports, playing ball, has advantages in terms of it being a healthy outlet for a child's energy. Something that I've noticed is that children who have difficulty following rules, often what happens is once they're taught the idea that there's a fair ball and there's a foul ball, that there are people who are in and people are out, in order for the game to work, a game requires structure, implicitly children then begin to understand that life also requires rules and structure. That in order for a house to operate, a Shabbos table to operate, you don't stand on the table. Rules are not there to make their lives difficult, but actually help us in our life. And finally, of course, for exercise, u'shmartem es nafsheisechem, teaching children to play ball could be very helpful. But there's another side. There's a side that when Hanukkah comes, we need to be honest about, and I've begun to encounter this more and more with very special Talmidim, fantastic Talmidim, a very particular challenge that I think is unique and could be framed by the words of the great Kadosh, Rav Meisha Torsky Zeche Tzadik V'Kadosh Avracha. His Torah is slowly coming out, and every vort is so beautiful. You need to be Rav Meisha Zeche Tzadik V'Kadosh Avracha to make this observation. It's probably based on Kabbalah, as you'll see in a moment. Why is it that Avram, the great Avram Avinu, the paragon of Emunah, ultimately he succeeds with his children, and on some level, it's hard to say these words, but on some level he fails. He has Yishmael. Yitzchak Avinu, he has a child, Yankov. He also has Esav. Only Yaakov Avinu is Vayovo Yaakov Sholem. Yaakov Avinu is complete. Mitosoi Sholem. And all of his children are on the derech. And it seems like fate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wanted that Avram Avinu embody chesed, and Avram Avinu rose to the task. In order to create the Shiftei Ka, after the Midah of chesed, it had to be followed with the Midah of Gevura of Yitzchak. And then finally it culminates in Kabbalah, it's Teferes, a combination of chesed and Gevura, but it culminates with Yaakov Avinu, who's also Yaakov Ish Emes. To have a Mita Sholem, Ramesha Zeichet Tzadik V'Kadosh Avracha suggested, one needs Emes. That becomes a shmooze by itself, the Mita of Emes. And how that affects Chinuch HaBonim. But I like to focus on one part of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, as Ramesha Zeichet Tzadik V'Kadosh Avracha is observing. Avram Avinu, as the embodiment of Chesed, we know that Chesed unburdened. The Torah says something, probably the most striking comment for me in all of Sefer Vayikra. In Parshas Kedoshim, Arayos, with one's sister, is referred to as Chesed Hu. And the lesson is, the chesed with, that's unbridled, that's without rules, chesed ultimately can lead to arayos. Giving requires boundaries. It requires a moral structure. Unbridled giving leads to Yishmael. Avram Avinu needed to be this bechina. It's not an error of Avram Avinu's part, as I understand these great words, but rather is a natural result. Chesed in its extreme could lead to the product of Yishmael. Similarly, Gevura, the midah of Yitzchak, the characteristic of strength, inner strength. Inner strength is the commitment at all costs to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mesiras Nefesh, which Ramesh Zechet Tzadik V'Kadosh Avroch embodied. But it's also something else in its extreme, when it is not fortified and structured by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's halacha. Gvura then could become manipulative and murderous. And that is what Esav was. Power in its most false form. We're about to reach Chanukah. Chanukah is our triumph over Greece. Spirituality over physicality. Greek culture emphasized the body, and an event emphasized conquest. It's the father of the Olympiad of Olympics. And that's the other side to the beautiful gift of sports that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. No question. Sports was something I remember, if I may, in the middle of Torah, as a child, we used to cry at the end of Field of Dreams when Kevin Costner plays ball in heaven. But maybe there is something that's been distorted in our childhood. You know, they say that there was once two fellows that grew up together and they loved playing baseball together. Louis and Jack. And Jack was on his deathbed, and they had spent their entire life watching sports together, playing ball together. Years later, as Jack is on his deathbed, Louis says, "Jack, I want to know something. Tell me, is there baseball in heaven? When you die, you come back to me in a dream." Sure enough, Jack dies, and he comes back to Louis in a dream. He says, "Louis, I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is there's baseball in heaven. The bad news is you're pitching tomorrow night." Where we come from, sports is in heaven too. Whether they play baseball or not, in some surah ruchani, I don't know. Probably not. But one thing I do know, in learning with Talmidim, I've noticed that sports has entered the Beis Medrash. The values of Yavan have been challenging the values of the Chashmonaim. There were three things that the Greeks tried to uproot amongst the Jewish people. Mila, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh, says the Megillas Antiochus. Let's examine those three, and then see how each one of them have been challenged, I believe, in the Beis Medrash itself, and they represent a challenge to our Mesorah, to our tradition. Of course, the Greeks glorify the body. Sculpture, the body, sculpture of the body, was something that was celebrated in Greece to this day. And by the way, the Greek aesthetic, as we're going to argue today and argued in other contexts, we'll just refer to it briefly right now, is something that Yadus Judaism respects. But of course, the Gevura and the beauty in its extreme becomes a distortion of man's role in this universe. And we have a circumcision to show that our body is not complete. Why it relates to the organ of the body that's connected to reproductivity is a separate discussion. But at the end of the day, Mila shows us that our corporeal being is not complete. For Greece, the body and its accomplishment, its ability to accomplish, its ability to be victorious in every physical struggle is key. There is a denial of the role of the body in terms of its material and spiritual component, where the spiritual informs the material. No, there's only the world of materialism. What's important in Avodas Hashem? Is it the process or is it the result? If the emphasis is the success of the human body, then the result is important. The process is not. It's how you win the game. Leo Droscher. Bad guys finish first. And the punchline is, good guys finish last. It's where you finish, Leo Droscher taught us. For Torah, it's the exact opposite. For Torah, it's the process. Lo nitna Torah elo litzarefes habrios. And I've noticed my athletic students come in with the goal to get through the Tosos, to chapshir, and to be on top. And their world of sports, where the competition is the most important, has been brought into the Beis Medrash. You want to argue mitoch shelo lishma balishma? Yes, but we need to keep in mind what is the lishma. And the lishma is lo nitna Torah el letzarei fesabrias. Talmud Torah is one in which we are not trying to conquer, but rather we are trying to refine ourselves and appreciate. Let's talk about tachlis and learning, practically and learning, to appreciate every beautiful word in Tosas. Not only to know the punchline. That's number one. Number two, the second decree was against Rosh Chodesh. The idea of Rosh Chodesh is that Chazal and our Mesorah can define the physical reality. In fact, a person's bar mitzvah is going to be dependent on the way the Beis Din HaGadol, their age, and their halachic status is going to be dependent on the Chachmei HaMesorah. In other words, reality is changed with spiritual attainment. In the world of Yavan, the only world that exists is the physical world. Reality is defined and accomplishment is defined only by the physical accomplishment. Rosh Chodesh denies that. It undermines it. It says that there is a neshama, a power of creation. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Klal Yisrael receives the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh when it's at its lowest point. It's the first mitzvah of the Torah, because spiritual creativity can undermine and trumps physical creativity. When I was a child and I used to run with my father, that's 50, 60 pounds ago, I was a real runner. We were taught, and this is a Masorah that I have from my father, that when you have a cramp, you run through the pain. No pain, no gain, I remember as a child seeing in a Nike commercial. The opposite is true for Torah. When we sit and learn, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vaharevna, please make the Torah sweet. Please make your Torah sweet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Make your Torah sweet for us. It's the opposite. No enjoyment, no gain. The Iglei Tal writes that the definition of experiencing Torah is enjoyment of Torah, and that's not considered Shelo Lishma at all. I've noticed that the Talmidim have taken their aspiration to be successful in Torah. Halavai, many are arguing that there should be more students like this, but I want to make sure that the emes of Torah remains. And that is, it's not about accomplishing. It's not about, after 7.5 years, being at a Siyum HaShas. but it's enjoying the words of the Gemara. For those who are learning Daf Yomi, yes, there's a daf that you need to complete by the end of the day, but something, come away with something beautiful from the daf. And if you can't, then you need to speak to your Rabbeim and your role models and your leaders, how the Torah is going to be, Vaharevna is going to be sweet. That's why in the yeshivas, we refer to Amelus B'Torah as Harevin and Lernin. What's the word Harev, Harev, that should be sweet? And what was the last decree of the Greeks? Shabbos. Shabbos we seize from creative act because we recognize that the source of all creativity is God. And that we surrender, for Rav Soloveitchik, that was the most important word in Avodas Hashem. The dynamic, modern, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, the most important word in his modern lexicon was the word surrender. Where man surrenders to God, surrenders to someone else, surrenders to his wife. He gives of his rib to his wife. Ayin Isha Emuna, the lonely man of faith, where Soloveitchik develops this beautifully. An Oved Hashem is one who surrenders and says, I don't know and I'm willing to listen. There is no surrender in Greek. It's only the victorious who can rejoice. We rejoice in surrender when the surrender is a surrender to something that's greater and better than us. And that does exist. There's an underlying theme over here. All three things that we've described, the antithetical component of Yavan, a victory, no pain, no gain, and the celebration of the human body versus the soul, cuts to the core, writes Rabbi Yerucham in Das Musar, to the core of the definition of the word milchama. God brings war to humanity. Not man creates war, but God brings war. We, the Israeli people, have not asked for war. God has thrust it upon us. And while the world of Greece, the world of Esav, and the world of Yishmael looks at milchama as a way to dominate another human being, as a way to control land, for us, milchama is the opposite. Milchama is when God mandates for us to be moser nefesh, to give of our souls and our being, whether we're ready to put our lives and our comforts, hopefully God will not challenge us to put our lives on the line, but our comforts on the line, for the values that we embody from Har Sinai. That's the overall tension. The tension of Yavan, the emphasizes success in the material world, to dominate. And our definition of Hatzlacha, success, is the ability for us to put something spiritual ahead of something which is physical. Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky, I've mentioned this in the past, close to 30 years ago when the suicide bombings began here in Arzenu HaKdosha, pointed out that in the history of our enemies, those who wanted to undermine spirituality and the lessons of Har Sinai and the tradition of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Mesorah of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, they never resorted to a mass movement of suicidal attacks. Spanish Inquisition, the Nazis, we should not know one millionth of the suffering of our great-great-grandparents. But suicidal missions was not part of their modus operandi. There were a few kamikaze Japanese pilots who lived that bechina, that experience. But that wasn't part of anti-Semitism. In the last 30 years, our enemies who have tried to destroy our existence in Eretz Yisrael, Torah in Eretz Yisrael, those enemies have picked up a midah of Mesiris Nefesh.